Welcome, heroes, to the Crit Academy Unearthed Tips and Tricks. I am your host, Justin.
I'm your co-host, Ian.
And I am your co-host, Brandon and Damien.
His baby's so adorable. We hope to inspire you with creative content that you can bring with you on your next adventure. Tonight, we've got some really great stuff for you. Our monster variant is the Arctic Gnome Tinkerer, a.k.a. Papa Smurf gonna whoop that ass.
Whoop that ass, bitch.
It totally looks like him. So the origin stat block for this thing is going to be the imp. It's a CR1. It's going to lose its shape changer, its devil sight, its sting, its invisibility, and probably fly. The new features we're going to give it, obviously, we're going Arctic here, so it's going to have cold, which is great. We're going to give it the gnome cunning, which gives us the advantage on saving throws, dark vision, tinker tools, proficiencies. Here's where it gets interesting. We're giving him ice walk so he can battle against enemies, swoop down, and not have to worry about slipping on ice because they're experts, right? We're going to give it a frost brand battle axe. So not only does it do regular slashing damage, it also does 2d6 cold damage on top of it. Woot woot. If you're a dungeon master, this is an opportunity to introduce the frost brand weapon to a player that may want to freeze him in hell. Now, of course, because he's ice-based, we're not giving him fireball, we're not giving him rocks, we're giving him snowballs to throw at people, right? So they get to make make ranged spell attacks. And it does if they're hit with it while standing on snow or water, their movement is reduced by half for one round. I realize it doesn't actually say that here. And then this is where the Tinkerer gets fun.
Dude, really?
It's going to be yeah. It's going to be able to create a frigid construct. The Arctic Gnome targets a pile of snow within 10 feet of an unoccupied space that creates a homunculus stat block made of snow that does cold damage instead of poison damage. The construct is under the gnome's control, and the gnome can have no more than 3 under their control at a time. What do you boys think about that?
It's a fucking snowman.
It's fun.
Well, it is getting that time, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I told my players I was going to hold, like, a Yule Christmas event like I did with Halloween, and I'm looking for monsters to put into, like, this snowy complex or whatever. This is a really good one.
We wrote, I wrote one a long time ago with one of our patrons that actually has, like, a sing-along opening.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, there is Frosty. What do you think, Ian?
Just the fact that this one gnome can suddenly make its own party and suddenly be that much more dangerous is awesome. Especially if the gnome knows the players are coming and has prep time.
Yeah, it's great. It is worth noting that when I published this to our patrons, I made them any alignment. And I do talk about how they are roaming tinkerers and like to fix stuff. So they're typically pretty good.
Sure.
But they can be pretty douchey if they want to be, especially being able to create their own snowman armies. So, yeah, they'll do it for our monster, the Arctic Tinkerer Gnome.
I just don't like the other artwork that you used.
Artwork?
It's going to give me nightmares. Come to Papa.
Come to Papa. Yeah, Alicia put that up. That's pretty funny. All right, Brandon, would you like to tell us about our encounter?
Our encounter this week is laughter is not the best medicine. Finny, a dwarf priest seeks a group of adventurers to recover a powerful artifact stolen from his temple. The item is a gift from the temple's deity, a staff of healing. Ooh. Upon tracking down the staff, they find it in the hands of pirates of the Azure Sea. Azure means blue.
Yes, it does.
The pirates, led by pirate captain, that's the stat blocker we'll be using, Brine. However, if the party should engage in diplomacy with Brine, the party soon finds themselves facing a moral quandary. Nala, Brine's sister, is suffering from cackle fever. Is that a real disease?
What?
Is that a real disease in D&D?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It is now.
Yes, it is.
Because they were criminals, they could not seek help from the temples. That makes sense. So they stole the staff. Unfortunately, Brian's ignorance won't save her sister. The staff can only use lesser restoration, which can only cure short-term madness. As Nala suffers from indefinite madness, the staff alone is not enough.
Ooh, what do you guys think?
Making them do more work to solve the villain's problems? Go!
Yeah.
Short-term madness. Would you say that like lesser restoration could cure the indefinite madness for like an hour, but then it just like fades?
No.
No, nope. So it's just not at all.
I wouldn't. You need greater restoration or some sort of special ritual to do that.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Because they just went through all of this trouble to get this item that's not actually going to do what they need. But depending on what level you throw your players at, one of them might be able to. But are they willing?
And they're pirates too, so they might have plundered goods that could be bartered.
Yeah.
Saying.
Or they might have murdered people, and if you're supposed to be heroes, like, and there's a lot of moral quandary there, right? So, I definitely think it's interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if the players didn't actually take the staff back to the priests, because players are douchey like that, but I think it's interesting to give them a powerful magic item that they're then supposed to give back to somebody. Because I think that puts a little bit of, well, what kind of heroes are we? You know what I mean? A cleric or something that would want to get use out of this, and maybe a druid might be wanting to take it back, but I can see the rogue like, hey, why take it back? They were just letting it sit in there anyway. Here, you know how many people you could help? Like, imagine if I got stabbed in the back, you could be right there to take care of me. But not if you give it back. Nope, not if you don't give it back.
Give me a persuasion roll.
Anything else on this?
It's a good one.
I like the idea.
That'll do it for our encounter. Laughter is not the best medicine. Ian, would you like to tell us about our magic item that comes from the second Black Dawn 5e adventure? If you've not picked this up, you need to. This is one of my favorite adventures. It's really, really well done.
We have the Candelabra of Candor. It is a uncommon, wondrous item, and it requires attunement. When all the candles in this 8-arm candelabra of pure gold are lit, it creates a 15-foot sphere emanating a zone of truth, as in the spell, centered on the candelabra. The effect lasts as long as the candles remain lit, and the candles themselves last about 8 hours if not extinguished. Once the candles are extinguished, the effect ends and cannot be used again until the next dusk. New candles can replace the old ones when the old ones are used up, as the magic lies within the candelabra itself, not the candles.
What do you guys think about this?
I find it interesting that something just requires attunement, but it still can be a useful tool nonetheless.
I would agree with that. I really like this because something that we don't see enough of in more common adventures is magic used to ensure equality. So merchants can easily have the wool pulled over their eyes by a cheeky spellcaster. But with an uncommon magic item like this, as it's uncommon, can make it so that they can't do spells and be dishonest while trying to purchase goods. Though I can totally see a douchey merchant putting it right at the door so everyone on one side of the bar has to be honest, but not the other side.
Yep.
What do you think, Brandon?
I like this specifically because once the players realize that they cannot lie, or they're starting to feel like, oh, there's a spell in here, they're not going to be able to easily discover what's doing this. They're going to be looking for like some sort of an orb or a glowing magical item sitting next to a merchant or something. They're not going to be looking for a bunch of candles.
Right, for sure. That's actually I love how innocuous is that the right term? How
hidden?
Yeah, innocuous. Like it's just hidden in plain sight, right? I really like that, and I like stuff that is used for more than just blowing shit up. Which is usually what most of the magic items on the show are about.
I think another use you can get out of this is intimidation. in such a way. He says it's got 8 candles, right? Mm-hmm. What if you are telling somebody who you're trying to interrogate, it's like, we're going to give you a chance, okay? If you don't tell us the truth, we're going to do harm to you or something. And maybe, like, as you're slowly lighting the candles, every time you light one, that arcane power can be felt getting heavier and heavier. The person doesn't know what it is until you finally light that 8th candle, and it's just like, shit, I'm going to get you one way or another.
I think that that's really interesting. I never thought of anything like that. I also just think it'd be funny carrying one of these things around and just listening to people stop in the middle of conversation and say, well, yes, you know, this item is absolutely half the price I'm trying to sell it to you for. Oh, it would be so much fun. All right, that'll do it for our magic.
Town guard.
Oh, yeah, just carrying that around instead of a torch.
From door to door. Hey, were you here last night? No. Okay, cool. Were you here last night? Yeah.
That's interesting. I like that, giving them little tiny candelabras of Condor, but they're little torches of honesty with that, like, 5 feet, and they go and interrogate people with them. Ooh, that's got the makings of like those clerics that want to, you know, kill all arcane casters. Can you cast magic? Yes. Oh, damn. All right, that'll do it for our magic item, the Candelabra of Condor. If you enjoy our show and you'd like to, and you want to help support us and keep the content going, this show does take a lot of work. Please consider joining us on Patreon. We offer a number of rewards at all tiers for all price ranges that can best fit your budget to help keep the show going as long as we can. You can head on over to patreon.com/CritAcademy and check out some of the rewards and see what you like. Our Dungeon Master tip of the podcast is campaign lists. Now, keeping track of what's going on in your campaign can be tough, right? Keep the story of the adventure and the whole campaign in mind and keep it in a list of things that can happen to drive the story forward. If the adventurers decide to wander off in an unexpected, you know, place, you might end up missing one of the prepared maps or some random encounters. Pull something off your campaign list and tie the whole excursion to the broader story. Sometimes we forget when players go west when we want them to go any of the other 3 directions, that we forget to find to try and tie it back to our adventure. As we mentioned in our main topic, the adventure structure, when they do that, make sure you have a list of things kind of prepared ahead of time in case things go wrong. Right, you can have short little detailed plans of if they go somewhere else, how can you tie it back? And a short little list is a really, really great way to do it. Even if it's just like a random encounter that might happen along the roads where they spot, you know, they decide to go west and you wanted them to go every other direction. They're camping and, you know, maybe there's a couple lights passing by that might draw their attention and they might snoop up and just hear a discussion between, you know, a set of guards from a neighboring, you know, kingdom that you're at warfare with, right? It ties it to the fact that your overall story's got this war going on, but it's not really a direct, you know, decision that they made to run into it. It's just kind of a passive event. And by tying them, then that feels like you're not wasting as much time doing random stuff, especially if you can kind of control the flow of the story. What do you guys think?
I think it's also a good point, too, that you're not going to think of everything as a DM as hard as you try.
Yeah.
So, but that doesn't mean you can't document all the possibilities, because even if they don't do them now, that doesn't mean you can't revisit them later.
That's true. I like that.
I try to keep track of what the players do, and it's difficult. Especially when you ad-lib most of it.
Yeah. That's why you need to keep, even if it's just a little list of key point bullet points, right?
Mm-hmm. That's usually what I do is in a notebook. I use the notebook for keeping track of initiative and all that stuff and some names. And on the back of the notebook, on the back pages, I write down the session, so-and-so. This is a gist of what happened. Yeah. That's the most I can really do.
And being able to tie even just a single element to an ongoing stories will actually build the player's confidence that you actually had the whole thing planned out no matter what they did. Just because it's connected in one capacity. So keep that in line, in mind, and a short list of, oh shit, well, this is going here now. and roll with it.
Yep.
Roll with it.
Yeah.
Always a good tip, because it's always kind of interesting to read your old notes and go, oh, I can touch on this again.
Yeah, absolutely. That is such a great addition to that. Things that may have been passing before might be able to come up, right?
Mm-hmm. So I've written a lot of things down that the players talked about. Like, oh, what if this happened? What if that happened? The whole, oh, it's there now type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have like 2 pages dedicated to stuff that they've said that I'm going to put in the game at some point.
That's awesome. Always makes them feel really great, too. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. I talked about this. I knew this was going to happen. But you never tell them that you made it up, right?
No.
Or that you stole it from them.
Like, they got an NPC that they're loving right now. His name was Merlwood. And he's this crazy old wizard who lives in a janitor's closet that teleports to a sanctum out in the astral plane, which is where he lives. Bunch of magic items and stuff. And he's crazy, but he's a very helpful NPC, and they love him. It's almost
he's got a closet of Narnia in there?
Yeah, he does. He's got this little magic doorknob that he puts on any wall, and when he opens it, it opens to his thing. And he just shuts cool. It.
Nice.
Do you ever see that short flick, The Room? Was a lot like that. They had a key, they stick it in a door and think about where they want to go, and it just, as long as there's a door there, it goes there.
Oh, they're so cool.
Yeah, it's really good.
But one of them said, it turns out that Marlowe is a villain. They're like, would you shut up? It's like, nah, it's just a joke. And I'm sitting there behind the screen going, that's a good idea.
How can I do this?
So yeah, it'll happen eventually. Maybe he'll be the next guy.
That's great. All right. That'll do it for our Dungeon Master tip. Campaign lists. Tie that shit together.
I bet that'll work really well with Obsidian.
Yes, yeah. That's what Obsidian is designed for. If you're not using Obsidian as a Dungeon Master, you are
Obsidian Portal,
out.
Yeah.
No, not Obsidian Portal.
Oh.
The program, Obsidian. It's Obsidian.md. It basically creates like a balloon of connecting masses together. And you can relate, link everything together. Mm. And you can like zoom out and it looks like it's crazy.
Gotcha.
All right. Our player tip of the podcast is
Don't be a dick.
And you can avoid dickitude by being the moon web slinger power. There. When it comes to combat in D&D, some players seek to optimize pure damage output. This often leads more tactical aspects of the game.
On the table.
As a Circle of the Moon Druid, you can create particularly powerful tactical combo using the Fog Cloud spell, which basically pretty much can blind anyone inside of it, right? Which means disadvantage on attacks.
Yep.
If you then shape into a creature with blindsight, such as a giant spider or ice spider queen, you can see 10 feet with zero problems because you have blindsight. This basically allows you to attack with advantage as well as retreat without provoking opportunity attacks. Now, I'm sure you'll want to bring your party and your friends along, and they can't see in there either, but you can go in and drag out one or two enemies out of the fog at a time with your allies and their actions readied. So as soon as the enemy exits, bam, they're all mauled.
And fog is not the only option to use this with. You can also use like darkness, for example, too. There's a few ways you can execute this plan, but it's a good one.
Yes. Especially if you got somebody that can see in the darkness and that can kind of offset it. But this is definitely, what's really cool is you can spider web everything in the area and then they can't leave. So now they can't see and they just slowly die. What do you guys think?
That's smart. That's a really smart play. Yeah. You just walk into
you gotta be tactics.
The fog cloud and just like, gotcha, bitch. And you drag them out. They're like, no.
And the enemies don't see nothing. They just hear the flailing and dying wails of their allies.
Yep.
Oh my god.
Ready to action, I think, works really, really well in a situation just like this, though.
Yeah,
if you can get everyone on board. So, anything you'd like to add to this?
I mean, it's a straightforward tactic, so I like it, and it promotes teamwork.
Yeah, that's fucking teamwork, which we need more of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. That'll do it for our player tip of the podcast. Don't be a dick. And you can avoid dickitude with Moon Web Slinging Power Activate.
Don't be
make
a dick.
Up.
Make up.
There we go.
If you enjoyed the show and you want to support us, please visit us at CritAcademy.com. Yeah. Check out some of our best-selling content. Pick some up. Share it with your friends. If you want to help us grow, please consider taking one of the clips from our show and sharing it to your favorite, you know, Facebook group, Twitter group, whatever. Help Reddit post if you do that sort of thing. People still do Reddit, I guess. Mostly angry people as far as I can tell. But anything you can do to help us reach a bigger audience, we would appreciate it.
Reach them all.
Follow us on social media. Watch us on YouTube. Subscribe. I'll bash all that stuff in. That'll do it for our show today. I'm your host, Justin.
I'm your co-host, Ian.
I'm your co-host, Brandon. Thanks for listening.
Keep your blade sharp and spells prepared, heroes.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.